Now, please forgive me. We are a day late in marking World Malaria Day, which was actually yesterday. But I thought it best to leave it for our health and wellness segment, seeing as it was on topic. And we're going to use the opportunity to ask questions of the guest who is joining us in studio. But I hope you will do so as well. Perhaps you are busy planning your June holiday escape to somewhere that's going to be lovely, warm and lush. And you need to think about malaria prophylaxis. And you have questions. You may direct them to Jackie Maiman, who's with us in studio, CEO of the Independent Community Pharmacy Association. It's a non-profit which is all about giving a voice to independent pharmacies to make sure that they are heard in the greater sort of scheme of things in this sector. And Jackie, it's lovely to have you back with us again. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Pippa. It's lovely to be here.
It's easy for a person sitting in the Western Cape with winter coming along and we're far away from tropical zones. Malaria might seem like a very distant sort of a worry. But Jackie, the fact is it's still a very, very major global health concern, isn't it?
Absolutely. Last year, according to the stats, we've got 249 million people contracted malaria.
Sure.
94% of those here in sub-Saharan Africa.
In sub-Saharan Africa alone. Okay,
yes.
So it is a significant regional health concern. And of course, there are parts of South Africa which are listed as malarial areas. I know that list shifts and morphs and you need to make sure you're looking at an up-to-date map. But generally speaking, Jackie, where do you need to be really seriously aware of it within South Africa?
Okay, so South Africa, you're quite correct. It tends to be the northeastern regions. So there are three provinces, Limpopo in the northeast, Mpumalanga, the far east, and KwaZulu-Natal, the north, the sort of quite far up north, KwaZulu-Natal. So sort of around the Kruger National Park.
Yeah.
Now, here in South Africa, the malaria is seasonal.
Okay.
So we see cases sort of climbing in October, peaking in January and February, and then waning towards May. So here in South Africa, we usually only recommend antimalarials from sort of September till May.
Okay.
It is very seasonal. The problem is because we don't have a lot of malaria here in South Africa, I mean, only 10% of our population is exposed to malaria areas, we forget that our neighbors are absolutely endemic for malaria. And the worst one being right on our border is Mozambique.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you forget, you travel there, and it's the dangerous malarias that are there in Mozambique. So, you know, we do need to be aware. 600,000 people died of malaria last year.
600,000 globally.
Yes.
That is a huge figure.
It's
so keep that
number
in mind. And it's not something to be trifled with. I'm sure many of our listeners have stories like this. I think I've mentioned before, I had a contemporary at varsity who went on holiday to Malawi and came home and died of cerebral malaria because nobody knew what they were looking at. Jackie got back. It was the last thing that had been on his mind. He'd been on a lovely holiday and he just thought he had the flu. And the doctors just thought he had the flu because he didn't even think to mention to them where he'd been. Obviously, a doctor who is trained to ask, have you traveled recently, would immediately see the red flag go up and start going, maybe we need to screen because these symptoms are potentially malaria symptoms. But the problem is, as you say, we so much of the country isn't exposed to it regularly. It's not top of mind. Does that extend to our medical profession as well?
Yes, I think so, you know, especially here in the Western Cape, we don't see a lot of these tropical diseases. And we do see so much colds and flu, especially we've just come out of the pandemic. And what's top of mind is COVID.
Yeah.
You know,
because it's still doing the rounds. So that's what you look at first.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why, you know, I really think, Pippa, we know that World Malaria Day was yesterday, but just to say, go in and chat to your pharmacist. They can give you advice. Is this a malaria area? Is it the time of year where you need antimalarials? And so important for people who do travel anywhere north of our borders, that if they do come back, and it might even be a few weeks afterwards, and they have any symptoms of colds or flu, to say to somebody, I've been in a malaria area.
Please check.
Especially in Africa, because as you mentioned, the Plasmodium falciparum, which is the malaria that's predominant in sub-Saharan Africa, can lead to cerebral malaria, and that can kill a person in 72 hours.
Yeah. Which was the experience we had at Varsity. It was so quick. It was terrifying. Jackie, you said a few weeks afterwards. let's talk a little bit more about some of the sort of the nitty gritty here. I think most people know they're associated with mosquito bites, but there's actually more to the story than just the mosquito. So let's start with just a quick explanation of what malaria is and how it's transmitted, and then the important figures around how long that incubation period can be and how long you need to be alert for.
Absolutely. So malaria is what we call a vector-borne disease. So there's two parts to it. There's the mosquito part and there's the human part. Mm-hmm. There's one species of mosquito. It's the Anopheles, and believe it or not, it's the female Anopheles mosquito. Us ladies are deadly. The Anopheles female mosquito that carries the virus. So the virus, they'll bite somebody who's infected. The virus goes into their gut, replicates, and then migrates to their salivary glands. The next person they bite, when they always inject a little bit of anticoagulant so they can get as much blood out of you as they can. Okay. They inject some of these sporozoites. And it is these then go to our liver. And in the liver, they start multiplying. Then they burst out of those cells into our bloodstream. And that's where the nonsense starts. So while it's busy in the liver, you have no symptoms. Mm. And that's why I can't say to you it's 5 days or it's 10 days. Generally, it could be 7 days, it could be 10, it could be 21 days. It depends on that state in the liver. It also depends whether you have been on antimalarials or not. Right. Because sometimes that can, and I don't want to say it masks it, because I don't want anybody not to take antimalarials because they feel it's masking it. It protects you. But it might make that the parasites are in your bloodstream, but you're not having that extreme anemia and right. the chills and sweats. So, you know, I would say that if you've been in a malaria area, even if it is a 2-3 months afterwards, mention it to your doctor or your pharmacist. Mm-hmm. Literally, if it's in the pharmacy, we can do a rapid diagnostic test, a self-test,
okay.
and have the answer in a matter of minutes.
That's very reassuring. So right then and there, without sending off blood samples, etc., you can test and say yes. to somebody, yes. okay, this is showing a positive. Yes. You now need to go to your doctor. And correct. I would assume then follow up with full blood panels and the work.
Absolutely.
How treatable is it? I mean, as you said, the cerebral variation can move really, really fast. So in many cases, it's people are too late to realize how sick they're actually getting. It can be disastrous. But generally speaking, if somebody is then tested positive as having malaria, how is it actually treated and how successfully can it be treated?
All right. So I think before we even go on to the treatment, what I can say to you is that it is absolutely preventable.
Yep.
And I think we really need to focus on that.
Okay.
So it's not just the medication. And obviously, if you're going to a serious area that has a lot of malaria, you cannot go without taking antimalarials. But on top of that, you need to try, we call it the ABC. Mm-hmm. So try and avoid getting bitten. Avoid being outside between dusk and dawn.
Yeah.
B, the bites.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely spray for mosquitoes, sleep under mosquito nets, use ceiling fans, things like that. And then, you know, you really need to also think about just this awareness that if you have been in a malaria area, as I was saying to you, and you get symptoms of cold and flu, to tell somebody. Now, on the treatment side, so the antimalarials are very effective. And
okay.
I looked up some stats for you, Pippa.
Yeah.
Of the people that contracted malaria, 80% of those that contracted malaria had not taken antimalarials.
Okay.
And of the ones that did take antimalarials and still got malaria, almost half of them didn't finish the course or didn't take it properly or took something like chloroquine, which is now in Africa, all the malaria is resistant.
Yeah.
It's ineffective. Yeah. Okay. So that's your first step. Then on the treatment, absolutely critical that you get early treatment, and it needs to be effective treatment. So don't go and somebody says, oh, I've got some quinine in my cupboard, or drink lots of gin and tonics. There's quinine in tonic and that'll sort out your malaria. Get to a doctor and get onto the correct medicine. If you're seriously ill, you'll be hospitalized
okay.
and put onto intravenous artesunate. There is also an oral form.
Mm-hmm.
The trade name is called Coartem. And those are the general first-line treatments we do here, often together with another agent. The treatments are effective if it's caught early. and the correct dosages are used.
Yeah.
And this is where I would say to healthcare professionals in the Western Cape, make sure you know your treatment for malaria. Because if you went into a hospital in Mpumalanga, I guarantee
they
you, you're going
what,
to be treated
yes,
properly.
Yes, they'll know what
I mean,
to
Nelspruit
do.
Yeah. Hospital, it's bread and butter. But here it might have to just look up those dosages.
Yeah.
But if you've got cerebral malaria and they bring you in and it's already, because the cerebral part is that these parasites replicate so quickly in the bloodstream, they start to block the microvasculature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when that happens in the brain that you get infarcts and you get the cerebral malaria. Then, even with the best doctors and world-class hospitals, it's dicey,
yeah.
even if you're a healthy person. And here we need to think about children and pregnant women. Those are your vulnerable people.
Mm.
Also people with diabetes. You don't want to be contracting malaria.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to recap, prevention is better than treatment and
Absolutely.
Cure. So, as you reminded us, the meds are available, the prevention measures are available, wearing long sleeves in the evenings, etc., to prevent getting bitten in the first place is a much easier method than treating in hospital once you've got it. Before we let you go, Jackie, I'm so glad somebody raised this. What about vaccine prevention? We have heard in the last year or two that a vaccine has been found to protect against malaria. Has it reached us in South Africa yet?
No, it hasn't reached us here in South Africa. I know that they are doing a trial. I think it's along Equatorial Africa, mm-hmm. and they are using it in children under six. We are optimistic that it'll be a game changer. It really will be a game changer for us.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because if you think about it, people who grow up in malaria areas become resistant to it. Now, here in South Africa, we don't because it's seasonal.
Yeah.
So don't think because you live in northern KwaZulu-Natal that you are immune.
Immune, yeah.
You're probably not. Whereas if you've had malaria a couple of times and you live in, for instance, Zimbabwe or Mozambique, you can develop immunity. Now, anything you can develop immunity for, you can probably have a vaccine for. So we are very hopeful. We're watching carefully what's happening. And, you know, hopefully one day this will be a vaccine-preventable disease. But in the interim, if you're going on holiday, go into your pharmacy, check if it's a malaria area, and check what medication you can take. Unfortunately, at the moment, two of the medicines that we use, they're three antimalarials.
Yeah.
Two of them are in short supply.
Oh, gosh.
Which is not good news.
That's not indeed, yeah.
And you may need to get, if it's a child you're taking into a malaria area, which I don't recommend, but if you absolutely have to, please give a pharmacy or a doctor 3 or 4 weeks notice because we have to get the medicine imported on a Section 21
right.
license.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's so important. And I think also to add, I mean, you want to have this conversation in advance, Jackie, because I know there are different types of medication. There are different contraindications. I know particular family histories and you have to be wise to
Absolutely.
The right one for you based
yes.
on where you're going on based on your own medical history and family history. So really important to have that conversation with the pharmacist about getting the right one.
Definitely.
Giving them enough time to get it for
you. If you're going
you.
Scuba diving, it yeah. rules out mefloquine.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're epileptic or you have depression, it rules out one of them.
Yes.
And if you are under eight, it rules out the doxycycline. So very important we know ahead of time. I think it's incredibly important. We're so busy with visas and flights is to think about your first aid box that you're taking with you. Also, all of the antimalarials need to be started before you enter the area.
Absolutely important as well. So give yourself enough time to plan properly. Jackie, thank you so much. It's such an important conversation to keep on having and remind everyone not to take this disease for granted. It is easy to ignore when you're sitting in a here in Cape Town, far away from malaria areas. It's very difficult to ignore once you've seen it hit somebody you know. Trust me. Jackie, thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to Jackie Maiman, CEO of the Independent Community Pharmacy Association. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Pippa.